Good morning. As most of you have figured out by now, I've been doing some research regarding the history of our church. I've been sharing tidbits from the early days, but today we're going to take a look at a more recent event. I'll share more on exactly what in a few minutes, but first I want to share some reflections from the pastor we will be honoring today. Quotes, as I reflect on the year that I have been serving the Lord in this church, it would be very easy to base my evaluation on the discouraging aspects, such as the membership role and worship attendance. I believe, though, that the latter has moved up slightly. Our Lord always spoke positively and kept his eyes on the Father in heaven, so perhaps we should follow his example. The following groups are active in the ministry of our church and are reaching individuals with the good news of Jesus Christ. I will summarize the nature of each group for you. Bible study. The morning group is now meeting in the church and is reaching 9 women. We have been studying the book of Romans. The evening group continues to move from home to home and involves about 7 people. Youth group. 10 people meet weekly for Bible discussions, and they meet in the homes of members. Sunday school. A vital part of our ministry is a training of young people. About 30 are enrolled, and a staff of 5 is involved. Vacation Bible School. Another successful session was held during the past summer. By utilizing the services of Chop Point campers, it served as a vital phase of Christian growth for these high schoolers. A staff of 9 worked with 35 young people. Operation Somebody Cares. Recently, we completed the distribution of 6 booklets to every home in the area. This effort was most significant. It brought together interested lay people in a common task of carrying out the Great Commission of our Lord. The people who are not coming into a church building to hear the Word of God received it in their homes with much prayer behind it. In conclusion, may we feel led to follow these words from Romans 10. But how can they call on him if they have not believed? And how can they believe if they have not heard the message? And how can they hear the message if it is not preached? And how can the message be preached if the messengers are not sent out? The next year, this was in the report. It has been exciting to be part of God's work in the North Woolwich Methodist Church. We thank God for the great evidence of his work among us. The Sunday school continues to reach a significant number of young people with a beautiful fact of God's love and interest for each individual. The junior high and senior high youth groups have grown in numbers this year and each week learn something as they study the Word of God. The younger group is studying John while the senior highs probe Romans. We thank God for the opportunity to strengthen our faith through the 2 adult Bible study groups. The sharing as we have studied Luke and Mark has been helpful to all involved. I suppose the highlight of our small groups would have to be the presence of the Chop Point campers during the month of July. What a blessing to see the church filled and to have those young people share their faith with us in word and song. The growth in our worship service is due to the cooperative efforts of all who shared an interest in the witness of the church. As all of us pray and give of ourselves in the work of God, the work of God is accomplished. I thank the members and friends of the church for the blessings to my life, as I have been permitted to share the great things of God with you. Blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with their whole heart. Psalms 119, 1 and 2. And the last pastor's report I want to share. What have we accomplished this past year? Rather than look back, it is more comfortable to look ahead with a vision of grandeur and the expectation of success some 12 months hence. I fully realize that the experiences of the past year make my vision practical and its success attainable. We are in good spiritual condition as we move into 1974. There is some new life appearing here and there. There are more individuals willing to serve Jesus Christ in a day-by-day relationship with people. The 2 weekly studies and the 2 youth groups are continuing with numbers about the same as last year. Our Christian education program has grown by the addition of an adult class and a senior high class. This This closes a big gap in the continued training of our parish, and we are thankful for the leadership of these groups. There are areas of our church life that are of concern to me. I have not been able to lead the parish to share of their monies, particularly when it is to be used outside our community. It concerns me that we are not more mission conscious. It also concerns me that some persons are not being involved in a Bible study or sharing group. As I remain faithful to God and seek His will, I am confident He will make me better able to lead and direct people to Him. By this time, you're probably wondering what's going on and why is Eunice sharing all this information. Well, while working on the church history, I discovered a very significant event in the life of our church occurred on January 25th, 1971. On that morning, 50 years ago, our own Frank Haywood preached his first sermon as official pastor of Northwood Church. What a blessing he, Laura, and their family has been to this church, community, and to me personally. And now Brian will be sharing one of Frank's sermons.
I got to take care of some personal business first. Boris, it is awesome to see you. Very good to see you. Christina, Daniela, Maddie, Porter, yes. I'm happy to see you too, but more happy to see you. Oh, yeah, and Frank, sorry about the Steelers.
I am too.
For any of you that follow football, Frank is a Steeler fan. I can't. My name is Brian. I am, for those of you who know Frank Haywood, he's my father. For those of you who know Pam Haywood, she's my sister. And yes, she rules all of us the same way she rules all the kids and teachers and everybody else at Chop Point. I want to take you back to a time a little different than what we're used to here at North Woolwich. When I came here, the first time I was five, when Dad became, I guess, full-time pastor, was what Eunice was talking about. I was eight. Do the math. Yes, I will be 60 in May. It's terrible. How the heck did that happen? Anyways, North Woolwich Methodist Church in 1960s and 70s was a very different place than it is today. There were very few of us. Peggy Allen, Eunice, her mother Marion, Min King, who was good friends of mine's mother, John and Ellie Thorpe, John Thorpe's parents. Who did I miss? I'm not reading my notes. This is what I said I was going to do, too. I got to put these on. I didn't in the first service, and I couldn't read like this. Florence Temple played organ, piano. Mostly women, but significant women in my life. Eunice was my fifth grade Sunday school teacher. She's created the man I am today. So, thanks to you. No, sorry, Eunice. But it was a great time, but also a time when the community around here, around this church, needed God. It was very sparse. Very few people were here and came here, and Chop Point was starting. Chop Point was more of an outreach to kids outside the community. I grew up down there. Terrible place to grow up. Miserable people down there. Ugly scenery. Nothing to do. No. I mean, I could go on all day what a great place it was to grow up. But the community around here was aching for God, I think is where I'd put it. So Dad and all of you. I was eight, so I was coloring in a pew. That's what I did. And much to my parents' dismay, I'd probably get up and go to the bathroom 17 times during the service. And the bathroom then was a chemical toilet right behind the wall in that corner. And yes, they smell very interesting. Remember that, Peggy?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Actually, Darius Doak told me he remembers it. So it didn't go away all that long ago. I changed Darius's diaper, by the way. Back on track. I can get sidetracked easy, sorry. God has been faithful to this church, to these four walls. The people that were here kept it open, kept pushing and getting youth groups going. Me and my friends from Woolworth Central School at the time, Chop Point didn't have a school then. Thank the Lord. Can you imagine having your sister as the secretary, your mother as the kindergarten teacher, your father as the principal? No way. No, thank you. And Bethany, as she wasn't born then. But anyways, I went to Woolworth Central School. All of our friends got involved with the youth group. Mary Lee Harris, now Temple, the pianist, organist daughter, is now a preacher over in Damascotta. And so just God's faithfulness reaches beyond the limits that we see. We've seen a lot of limits this year. So I am here as testimony that God's love reaches beyond the difficulties and what we see. My dad and I are very different. If those of you that know my father, he is extremely organized, extremely well thought out, planned. I'm not. I'm my mother. So my mom and I are very similar. A little more spontaneous, sporadic. My sister is more like my dad. My brother, who you'll see later on, is my father now. He has turned into my father. But he is more like my dad. This sermon that I got and printed from my dad, I had to kind of lie a little bit, gray lie, brown lie, however you want to call it, to get it, because we tried to keep it a secret. Eunice was awesome setting this all up and putting it together. But the neat thing was, I said, I just need something that I can share during the worship time in church on Sundays, because David's asked me to do that in the first service, so I've been doing that. So he pulls this out, and it's so neat that it's the basics of our faith is the title of the sermon. This is all stuff, if you've been to church, if you know, those of us have heard all of this stuff multiple times, but it never hurts to hear it again. I heard it at home growing up several times. The churches we went to heard it. God is always, hey, and I personally need that wake-up call. Pay attention. And so it's kind of good stuff to hear, even though we all know it mentally. It's good to hear it physically. The other cool thing, of course, him being very organized, he used to hand these out just about every Sunday. There was something, either a scripture passage or something you could take home. And this one says a New Year's prayer. So we're going to pray. I'm going to pray that. We'll pray that at the end, which is kind of cool. So not that this sermon was from January 25th, 1971, but very applicable to those early years when this was a real evangelistic, you know, we had 5-6 people. My sister, brother, and I were the only kids in the church pews. So it was God has changed this place, has brought people. It's great to see what he's done. So the basics of our faith. The cool thing about my father is very little negative in his sermons, mostly all about what we're striving for, what God offers to us. He wasn't the type that would dive into the pits of hell and Bible thumping, and he was very different that way than our Baptist brethren. My mom's side of the family, independent Maine Baptist, look out, King James Version coming straight down the pike, and you better watch out. So this is a little different, but it's really cool stuff. So he goes into the basics of our faith, starting off with God. One God is revealed in the Bible as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The Trinity, with the Godhead, are three persons, this I think is cool, who are co-equally and co-eternally God. So the same, the co-equally part I've always heard, but just reminding us this is eternally the case. It is wasn't just then or now or the scripture. He always was basing his sermons in scripture, so that's mostly what I have here. Matthew 3:13-17. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John, but John tried to deter him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? Jesus replied, let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. Then John consented. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, this is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. So right there we see the three parts. Bam. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Messiah, predicted in Isaiah 53. He is God as well as man. He was single. Oop, that's a typo. I said that this morning too. Singles. I know you would catch. See, the other problem with this, David's here listening to me twice. I'm going to get a critique, I can tell. I'm kidding. Died to redeem us from sin. The other verse for this, for Jesus Christ, Mark 10:45. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as ransom for many. 1 John 12:14. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. And then the last one, John 10:30, very simple. I and the Father are one. Extremely important basics that we hear all the time but need to be reminded of, and definitely as we're ministering and being a part of the world and our friends outside of here, things that they need to hear. The Holy Spirit, third part, is the Spirit of God. Dad says he inspired man to write the scriptures. He enables us to understand truth. He convicts us of sin and of righteousness. So not only does the Holy Spirit let us know when we're misbehaving, I think I get more of those reminders than the other, but he also reminds us of our righteousness. He calls us to the Savior and indwells every Christian. To be filled with his power, one must be submissive. I think that's such a cool statement, because submissive is not a word that we like to hear or use anymore, especially Americans. And I think this is a very important part of it. To be filled with his power, one must be submissive. The verses for this, Ephesians 5:18. Do not get drunk on wine, for that leads to debauchery. I and the Father are one. 1 Corinthians 2:10. These are the things God has revealed to us by his Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. And then from the very beginning of Scripture, Genesis 1:2, now the earth was formless and void. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. So from the get-go, all through Scripture, to now and well beyond us, this three-part God of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is actively pursuing and offering us a way to understand what we're doing here, why we're here, and where we're going. The next part he brings up as a basic is the Bible. The Bible is divinely inspired and is the sole guide and authority for our faith. Scripture he calls out is 2 Timothy 3:15 through 17. And how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures. So we've all known this. And anyone that you, any of my friends that are not believers, quote unquote, know it. They know God. They understand it. Maybe choosing to run from it, but they know it. From infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. The other verse is from 2 Peter 1. We also have the prophetic message as something completely reliable, and you will do well to pay attention to it as to a light shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation of things. For prophecy never had its origin in the human will, but prophets, though human, spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. Then he touches on immortality. We know our mortality. 12 years ago, December, quadruple bypass. Boris, you've had some fun stuff to deal with. We know these bodies don't go forever. God has a plan. He knows what he wants for us. Acts 7:59. Stephen knew. While they were stoning Stephen, he said, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. So there is something beyond this place, regardless of our... We don't like it. When I was younger, I was petrified to think about it. As I've gotten older, dealt with things in life, God has laid it on my heart. It's great opportunity for us out there, beyond this place. So that's exciting. Then Genesis 1:26, then God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our own likeness. So God created us different than the animals, the fish, the trees, the mudflat scuppers, and everybody else. We are created in God's image, physical and spiritual. Sin messed things all up. Of course, man fell in Adam and is born in sin, all of us. All men are condemned before God in their sin. Like this part, especially that he said. Sin is proud, independent rebellion against God in active or passive form. That hit me right between the running lights. It is independent. It is me rejecting passively or actively what God wants for me. Verses for this, Romans 1:18 through 23. The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of people who suppress the truth by their wickedness. Since what may be known about God is plain to them because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen. We know it. Everyone knows it. Being understood from what has been made so that people are without excuse. For although they knew God, They neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him, but their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of immortal God for images made to look like a mortal human being, birds, animals, and reptiles. So we know the truth, and we turn our back and run the other way. And it's all through the Old Testament. We watch it every day. I watch it every day. But we have salvation. God provides salvation. God gives eternal life when the believer has faith in Jesus Christ as Savior. Romans 3:24. And all are justified freely. Ooh, I lost my place. By his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. Ephesians 2:8-9. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It's nothing we have done. Baptist, Methodist, Congregational, anybody. It's from God. It is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. We are assured of salvation through Christ's works and God's promises. That we see in John 3:16. For God so loved the world, gave his only Son, that all should not perish, all, but have eternal life. We are justified before God and obtain salvation through the atoning death of Christ on the cross. It is a gift of God through faith. Romans 3:24. And all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. Baptism is the next step, basic step. Christian baptism is an act of obedience symbolizing the believer's faith in a crucified risen Savior, the believer's death to sin and the resurrection to walk in newness of life in Christ Jesus. Matthew 3:11 is the verse he has for this. I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me comes one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Lastly, atonement and resurrection. So there is more beyond this place. Christ's shed blood atoned for man's sins, and that Christ died and rose from the dead in bodily form. 1 Peter 2:24, he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. So this sermon, very basic things, very stuff we've all heard many times as Christians, but the cool thing for me as a kid, I heard this over and over and over from mom, from dad, from... I was so fortunate to grow up where I grew up, the Willards, my grandparents on both sides, all teachers, too, by the way, which I was supposed to be. If I'd been a good son, I would have taught high school biology instead of construction, working with Greg and Elliot. But I think my parents have gotten over it. But all educators and all totally knowing this is the only way and the only answer. So I appreciate your time. Appreciate you listening. It is a significant part of my life, maybe not everyone's life, but this church's life. The leadership and the direction and the teaching that he had. I just want to close on with one verse on my own, Psalms 119:90. And this is to God. And God, your faithfulness endures to all generations. So not 1971, but 1981, 91, 2001, 2011, right now. So his faithfulness to us is ongoing. You have established the earth, and it stands fast. So even though what we see going on around us doesn't give us a whole lot of hope, God's faithfulness is everlasting. So... I'd like to close with this prayer. It's kind of cool, a New Year prayer. And I won't mess it up this time because I have my glasses on. I can read the little print. So let's bow our heads and pray this prayer together. Lord, I would ask for a holy year spent in thy perfect will. Help me to walk in thy very steps. Help me to please thee still. Lord, I will ask for a year of faith. Give me thy faith divine, taking my full inheritance, making thy fullness mine. Lord, I would ask for a year of love. Oh, let me love thee best. Give me the love that faileth not under the hardest test. Lord, I would ask for a busy year filled up with service, doing with all thy Spirit's might all that I find to do. Lord, I would ask for a year of prayer. Teach me to walk with thee. Breathe in my heart thy Spirit's breath. Pray thou thy prayer in me. Lord, I would ask for a year of joy. This is my favorite part. Thy peace, thy joy divine, springing undimmed through all the days, whether of shade or shine. Lord, I would ask for a year of hope, looking for thee to come, and hastening on that year of years that brings us Christ and home. Amen. So thank you very much. Appreciate your listening.